First of all, I want to say that, to start with, that I'm very happy to be here. It's always an honor and a pleasure for anybody to want you to be anywhere. Because a lot of times, you know, we can be somewhere and some people don't even want to see you coming. I especially enjoy last time when I was here with the prime time, and I continue to always think about you guys and even the message that I spoke on, which was about prime time being the best time. And coming here to, for today, I knew that I wanted to have God have his way and for him to say a word that would be an encouragement to anybody who's here. One of the things that I have a heart for, I love babies and I love the older people. And I love older people because sometimes we act like when we're a certain age that we got here on our own. And sometimes we act like we don't remember that it was somebody else's shoulders that I'm standing on. So with me, I acknowledge the fact and I appreciate the fact that of what the people who came before me, because you know when we used to come down through, I don't know if anybody know about a path. But sometimes, like if you were going somewhere, you wanted a shortcut, you might have come through a path. And I know some of the young folks, they may not know about paths. But they would have a path that you would come through. And the way that you knew how to come through the path was somebody else had already come down through. And they kind of trampled down some things. This is what I look at when I look at my prime time people. Not my older people, not the people that we may say, well, what good are you? What's there for you to do? These are the people who came through. Right. And when they were stepping through, they trapped down the weeds. They made a place where I could go, ooh, man. I think I can come this way. Yeah. I think I can do this now. I would like for you, if you have your Bibles, to turn to Ruth, or I'm reading out of Ruth. And it's the fourth chapter, starting at the 13th verse. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thy old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. I would like to just, as a thought, or just, I'm going to put this up here. I would just like to just, as something for you to think about, the benefit of having a Naomi in your life. And the reason I say that is because if you look in the book of Ruth, it's called the book of Ruth. And it's not the book of Naomi. But see, here's the key thing. Naomi or Ruth may have gotten the name of the book, but Naomi was instrumental in her having a book that's called the book of Ruth. And a lot of times what we do is we'll look at what the young person did, but we forget about the fact that was a Naomi that was instrumental in Ruth being who Ruth was. And I don't know if you realize that even when you come down to when it was talking about as far as that they called this child named Obed and that he's the father of Jesse. Now see, sometimes even we'll see people and we'll say that there's no use for you, or you don't come up in, maybe you weren't brought up in the church. So you have no business being up in here thinking you're going to do anything. And God will take somebody that you might not think is somebody that ought to be used, and he'll use them for his glory. What you don't realize is that Jesse, who was the father of David, I don't know if anybody knows where I'm going here, but David ended up being, when we talk about 7 down through 42 generations, if you want to know what Jesus going through, we can go back to Ruth and Boaz. And you have Naomi, who, and this is what I thought was interesting. Naomi has a husband. She has two sons. Her sons, they leave because there's a family. And when they go to this place, which is not their home, it's not even a place who believed in our God. You know, I don't know if you know this, but there's only one true and living God. They had God with a little G. But they didn't have or know about the one true and living God. But here you have Ruth, and you have Naomi, rather, and her husband. And they go with their sons. And now they hook up with some people who don't know about their God. And see, here's the thing sometimes with us. Some of us think we too good sometimes to even go, we just want our little circle. We don't want nobody in our little circle. Yeah. And we don't even realize that if you know enough or you have enough word, you ought to be able to go out somewhere that may not know about your God and let them know and let them see something in your wife to make them want to hook up with you.
Amen.
Now you have Naomi who is now, she has her sons, they married. And I don't know if any of you know anything about this, but there's a little thing that goes about mother-in-laws. I don't know if any of you have a mother-in-law or if you've been a mother-in-law. But mother-in-laws don't really get that great of a reputation for anything wonderful all the time. It's usually some conflict. And like I said, you might be, don't raise your hand, but somebody might be a witness. Maybe your mother-in-law, you know, you kind of like, you know what? If my husband had died and my mother-in-law left, it'd be... Bye, see you. It was not nice knowing you. But here you have Naomi, who apparently lived a life so that once she impacted these others who hooked up with her sons, she impacted them so much that they, when her sons died or their husbands died, and it was time for them to go do something else. Because see, back then there were rules where women couldn't do but so many things, and you know how that is. And so you have Naomi now saying, well, I need to go back home. So what she tells her daughter-in-laws is, I tell you what, you girls go on back to your mother's house. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the fact that you've been with me and we've had a great relationship. And the two daughter-in-laws were like crying and saying, no, we don't want to leave you. How many mother-in-laws have daughter-in-laws? Oh, I don't want to leave you. We're going to go into the same house together. But they were like, no, we don't want to leave you. And she's telling them, you know what? In the first place, I'm old. All right. And I'm at an age where I can't get a husband. Mm-hmm. And I'm old, so old. And even if I get a husband, we can't have no children. Mm-hmm. And even if we were to have children, are you going to wait till they grow up and you be able to marry them? This is not going to work, baby. Y'all go on back to your mama's house. And one of them went back. Mm-hmm. And see, you're going to have people like that in your life. Yeah. They'll hook up with you. Yeah. There's some benefit. They know what kind of people you are. They've seen how you are. But then, when things get bad, I'm going to stay there with you. Okay, well, now I'll see you. So they leave. The one daughter-in-law leaves. But then there's one daughter-in-law who said, don't make me go. Mm-hmm. She said, you know, it intrigued me. Don't ask me to leave. Because, and then what she said, which is what I love, she said, well, if thou goest, I'll go. And then she said, where thou lodges, I'll lodge.
Yes.
And this is what's great, because how many of you have a God that anybody will say, and your God will be my God? Because if you ask me, I would say, she's probably seen something in Naomi's life to make her say, I want to be hooked up with your God.
Amen. Amen.
And the question is anybody seeing anything happening in your life that will make a person say, I want to hook up with your God? Are you always running around with your head hanging down? Oh, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to make it. Ooh, you know, I got more bills than I got money. And then you run around and you tell people, I can't even pay my light bill. No. Ooh, no, I can't pay my... Girl, I ain't got the money. Honey, I'm broke. Girl, I'm so broke, I can't even afford the air. You saying stuff, but then we're telling people, I want you to come to church with me.
All right.
I want you to go hear about my Lord because you need to be saved. And my question is there anything happening in your life that will make somebody say, I want to hook up with what you got? Does anybody see the thing and run and say, what must I do to be saved? Can they see a joy of the Lord in you when they going, I know she ain't got the money. I know she ought not be so. Why is she happy? Is anybody looking at you and saying, why is she smiling? Why is she smiling? All they looking at you and you look like you're an eighth prune. You like I'm running for Jesus for a long time and you ain't running for Jesus. You just ate prune. You look like you're old. She said, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. She said, because Mara means bitter. And she said, the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. You know how sometimes there are things that happen in our lives and we wonder, is God God? Do you hear me? Uh-huh. It's like I'm praying, Lord, did you forget me down here? Yeah. And it's not that God has forgotten you.
No, he's not.
See, now here's where faith comes in. Do you have the faith to stand?
Oh, man.
Does everything always have to go right for you to be able to praise God? Or can you praise him when things don't look like they're going right?
Yes.
Can you stand up and tell somebody, for God I live and for God I die? Can you say it with conviction? Do you have enough faith to say, I don't know, it's just like with the three Hebrew boys when I'm in the fiery furnace. If my God doesn't, he's able.
Amen.
Can you say that?
Amen.
Can you say not only that he's able, but you know what? My God is willing.
Yes.
See, I'm telling you this. I came from a little community called Bitter Springs, Alabama. Mm-hmm. And somebody might say, can there anything good come out of Bitter Springs, Alabama? It doesn't matter where you came from. Let me tell you what matters. Let me give you a flash.
All right.
We all appointed one time. all this bitch and I went on up there. And you've been doing, you've been running for Jesus a long time. Where's your fruit?
Amen.
If you're a tree and you're growing in my yard, you're supposed to be a pear tree and you ain't never put out any fruit. Cut it down. You don't need to be standing there taking up room. Let somebody else come along with you.
Man.